The 1920s was a decade of change for America. The stock market boomed and some people got richer. Fashions changed, morals changed, alcohol was outlawed, and crime exploded. Those same things happened in Appalachia, including the boom in crime and notorious criminals. Today we tell the story of a homegrown gangster hero who hailed from the hills of Southwest Virginia. Hello folks, I'm Steve Gilley, along with Rod Mullins, and this is Stories, a History of Appalachia.
Steve, the 1920s was a very pivotal time in the history of the United States of America. I mean, just like you said, stock market crashed. It was booming at one point, then it crashed, of course, later on, and then alcohol, the whole thing about prohibition, gangs, the whole thing about, I guess, Capone thrown in there as well, Capone, Dillinger, and some of the others. But, you know, a lot of people might not believe that, that sort of thing kind of happened in Appalachia too, didn't it?
Well, there were outlaw heroes all over America. You mentioned John Dillinger.
Right.
Bonnie and Clyde and others just like them. But here in Appalachia, yeah, we did have our own outlaw known as the notorious Kenny Wagner.
This surprised me, too. I didn't know that much about him until we did a little bit of a story early on. And now we are going to move on with a little bit more information about Kenny Wagner, aren't we?
We are. We are. And frankly, I hadn't known much about him either until I moved from Southwest Virginia to Kingsport years ago. Mm-hmm. And he's still very well known to this day in the Kingsport area.
Wow.
Well, William Kenneth, or Kenny Wagner, was born in Moccasin Gap, just outside Gate City, Virginia, on February 18, 1903, one of seven children of Charles Monroe Wagner and Nancy Penley Wagner. Now, Kenny himself later remembered his father as a godly man, reading the Bible to his kids and making sure they always attended Sunday school and church. He described his mother as a kind woman, but a strict disciplinarian. All in all, an idyllic childhood, but one that ended with Nancy Wagner's death on July 22, 1909. Kenny's father remarried, and his new wife moved in with her eight children to the Wagner house. Soon, Kenny found himself in competition with his step-siblings and feeling left out at home. So, Rod, he began running away from home, often staying with his uncle near Churchill until his father came and got him.
Well, the thing was, Steve, he was starting to get in some trouble, too, acting as a delivery boy for an illegal whiskey operation and running afoul of the law. At about the same time, troubles arose between Charles Wagner and a group of rowdies that forced the family to move several times. It was during that time that Kenny Wagner first took up a gun and found that he was a natural-born marksman. In fact, it turns out there was nothing he liked more than shooting, and the boy developed into one of the best sharpshooters to come out of the hills of Virginia. Kenny Wagner was so good that, at the age of 16, he joined the Richard Brothers Wagon Shows as the youngest Bronco Buster in the show, as well as becoming a trick shooter. He got the job when he attended a performance in Clinchport and took up a challenge from the ringmaster to ride a bucking Bronco. When he was able to successfully ride the horse, he was offered a job with the show.
Now, when Richard Brothers Wagon Shows finished out the season, they set up winter camp in Dothan, Alabama. The next season, Kenny traveled the country with the show and, at the same time, became acquainted with gambling, illegal liquor, and other criminal activities. In 1922, Wagner left the circus to run moonshine in Mississippi. That's where he had an incident with the law involving a stolen watch and an escape from the local jail that left a deputy sheriff dead and Kenny on the run. According to the local police, Wagner and another man were working at a local sawmill. An elderly man was left to tend the boiler, which involved turning it down at a set time, so the owner of the sawmill gave this man an expensive watch to use to time that boiler until the owner returned. Wagner and his companion robbed that elderly gentleman, taking everything in his possession, including that watch, which was recovered when Wagner was later arrested and jailed for his part in the robbery. On the other side, according to Kenny Wagner, the local sheriff was in on the moonshine running and had, in fact, hired Wagner to haul the liquor. Turns out, according to Wagner, that when the FBI showed up in the county to investigate the manufacture and distribution of the moonshine, that sheriff became afraid that Kenny Wagner would rat him out to the feds, so the sheriff concocted a plan to get him out of the way.
In late 1924, the sheriff gave Kenny a watch to keep for a friend. He was then promptly arrested for possession of stolen goods, the watch, and put in the county jail in Lucedale, Mississippi. Now, whichever story is the right one, Kenny decided that it wouldn't be good for his health to stay in that jail. So he escaped by overpowering a guard and stealing a horse. On Christmas Eve 1924, a posse headed by Deputy McIntosh was sent out to find and bring Kenny Wagner back to jail. Wagner discovered that McIntosh, as he headed to a shack in which Wagner was holed up, that set off a gun battle between the posse and that sharpshooter from Scott County, Virginia. Things didn't go well for Deputy McIntosh as he was shot and killed. Kenny Wagner then hightailed it out of Mississippi and back home, where, supposedly with the help from his family and friends, he managed to hide out from authorities. Mississippi, in the meantime, put a $1,000 reward for Wagner's capture, dead or alive.
On April 25th, 1925, word got out that he was to meet with his younger sister near the Holston River. Now, his sister was about to graduate from high school, and they hadn't seen each other in quite a while, so they made plans to meet on the Long Island of the Holston. However, the Kingsport police sent 5 officers to the location to ambush the fugitive at the meeting. Once again, a gun battle ensued between Wagner and the police officers, with the result that 2 policemen were shot dead and 1 other seriously wounded. Wagner took off, first swimming across the Holston River, then running for his life until he could steal a horse and make it back to Virginia. Wagner eventually entered a store in Waycross, Virginia, and surrendered to the store owner on the condition that the reward money, that $1,000 offered by Mississippi authorities, be split with his sister so that she could go on to college.
Wagner was tried in Sullivan County Criminal Court and found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to die by electrocution. But that sentence was set aside, and he was granted a new trial. On the day of trial, several state witnesses were, unable to attend. So the matter was continued, with Kenny's lawyers hoping to postpone trial until things quieted down in Kingsport over the incident. Well, Kenny Wagner never made it to a second trial. Wagner was getting anxious over the delays in his trial and becoming more and more irritable in the Sullivan County Jail. He made several unsuccessful attempts to escape the jail, but it doesn't matter how many escape attempts fail, it's the one that succeeds and gets you out of there is what really matters.
Oh, yes, it does. And the one that mattered happened on July 10th, 1925, when Wagner and several other inmates in the Sullivan County Jail jumped the guards as they opened the jail door for prisoners returning from work detail. The men disarmed the guards, and Wagner fled out the open door and took off for Mexico. Now, while in Mexico, he became even more notorious for bank and train robberies. Kenny Wagner eventually decided to return to America, coming back to Texas. He later settled in Texarkana, Arkansas, where he got into yet another fight, killing 2 brothers, Will and Sam Carper. He surrendered to Arkansas Sheriff Lily Barber and returned to Mississippi for trial on his first murder. Rumors, Rod, are that Kenny and Lily were having an affair, which is why he decided to surrender to her.
Well, by this point, Kenny Wagner was wanted for murders in Mississippi, Arkansas, and Tennessee. Since the first killing was in Mississippi, that state got their first crack at him for the murder of Deputy McIntosh 2 years earlier. Wagner was tried in 1926, and he was sentenced to life in prison for that crime. Wagner settled in for a long stay in the Mississippi prison system at the Parchman Farms Prison. Kenny Wagner was a smart and crafty man, though, and eventually got himself assigned as a trustee and head trainer of the prison's bloodhounds. In fact, he was allowed to go with the prison guards, armed and on horseback, to track escapees with the dogs. In 1940, he took advantage of this trust, and he escaped from Parchman and promptly headed back to Southwest Virginia. His freedom lasted until 1943, when he was captured there and returned to Mississippi.
Wagner again, believe it or not, persuaded prison officials to allow him to train the bloodhounds. And this, Rod, is where his last escape took place, in a most interesting way. It seems that while training the dogs to scent escaped prisoners, Wagner also trained them to not track him by whipping the dogs if they followed his scent. And by golly, it worked, because in 1948, he walked away from Parchman yet again, visiting family and friends in Tennessee and Virginia from time to time, but always returning to Mississippi, where he took on the alias of Big Jim. Kenny Wagner made the FBI Most Wanted list in the 50s and would have lived the rest of his life as a free man, but for a woman. You see, he was living in the residence of a woman there in town, and she happened to have another suitor. That man, jealous of Big Jim, found out who he really was and told the law where they could find Wagner. And in 1956, Kenny Wagner was arrested for the last time. By this point, Wagner was sick and okay with going back to Parchman where he'd get some health care. He again resumed training the dogs, believe it or not, and died of a heart attack while petting one of the animals on March 9th, 1958. News of his death was so big in Kingsport, Tennessee, that the Kingsport Times reported it as front page banner headline news.
Well, you know, Steve, there's been songs and ballads recorded about the adventures of Kenny Wagner, as well as books and, yeah, comic books and pulp magazines about him. I didn't know that. I barely had even known that there were songs and ballads. And for some reason, I'm thinking maybe I did hear of a song or something at one time about Kenny Wagner or the Ballad of Kenny Wagner or something like that. But I did not know anything about books and comic books and pulp magazines. But I guess I figure they probably made it into these like True Detective and Murder magazines or whatever they might have been at the time.
Yeah, that's what it was. I mean, he was in a lot of those. And the comics are not, you know, like Superman or Batman. Those were the comics of the 40s and 50s that were, you know, kind of low rent. The ones that made headlines with congressional investigations over rotting kids' brains out, things like that. But yeah, he did make the comics and those pulps and as well as books. In fact, there's even been recent books, one as recent as 2017, from which I got some of the information for this particular podcast episode.
Well, he sounded like he was a unique individual, but you know, it seemed like that crime got a hold of him and he just took it a little bit too far until it was finally the day that it caught up with him. Of all things, you know, after, well, whipping these dogs, he was petting a dog, and then he dies of a heart attack. Front page news.
Yeah, I think he was in the hospital, I think, and they told him the dogs had puppies, and he wanted to see one of the puppies, so they brought the puppy in, and he stood up and held the puppy, and then when he bent down to put the puppy down, he collapsed of a heart attack and died. And folks, that's the story of the notorious Kenny Wagner, East Tennessee and Southwest Virginia's most famous outlaw. Now, you can subscribe to the Stories Podcast at Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Spotify, Audible, Good Pods, or on your favorite podcast app. Again, thanks for listening. Till next we meet, y'all take care. So long, everybody.